Tank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona, a service of Leitner Communications. It's time for the High School Football Coaches Show on 96.1 Tank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Dave Shannon and Jared Prugar talk to area coaches about their upcoming games and take your questions and comments live in person or on the phone. If you've got a question or comment, call in at 814-944-9320. That's 814-944-9320. Now, the High School Football Coaches Show on 96.1 Hank FM. Here's your hosts, Dave Shannon and Jared Prugar.
And welcome to the Sinking Valley Country Club for tonight's edition of the High School Football Coaches Show. I'm Dave Shannon. The guy beside me is Jared Prugar, and Coach Franco is going to be joining us momentarily. He is on the phone with us tonight. So how are things going? New dad?
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a lot of diapers. That's you're learning the hard way, so someday, you know, he'll have to repay the favor. But no, it's a good time getting some sleep. But
good.
My wife is a trooper. She's with him all day while I'm slaving away at school. So she's doing the bulk of the work, and I just get to, you know, come in, swoop in, and be the hero every night.
Do the fun stuff. All right. Well, congratulations. And it was I kind of vicariously living through what you were going through, because you get used to a certain schedule. And you're rather kind of a free-range individual, you know, doing what, you know, it may not, this week may not resemble last week in any way, shape, or form. And so it was quite an adjustment you had to make as you were coming down the stretch, so to speak.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you're just trying to toe the line of making sure everybody's kind of taken care of, but also making sure that, like, you're where you're able to be. And didn't want to go too far. I ended up missing a couple more games than I expected to, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, your son and your wife and your family are way more important than any football game, coaches show, or whatever. And it's no disrespect to the coaches show. I love being on this, and, you know, we got a couple more in us, but, you know, it's way more important to be home and be present to when things like that, you never know what could happen. And you know, I don't regret a thing. It's been one of the coolest things to ever go through. And you get to, you know, go home at night, and, you know, you change a diaper, and they're screaming and carrying on, and you want to throw the diaper against the wall and throw yourself against out the window, and then they smile and they coo at you, and then poof, you know, and that all goes away.
Baby magic. Yeah. Well, it's, you know, the other thing is, too, you working with Altoona High games, and it's not an easy trip. I mean, you know, I complained this year covering Central when I had to go to Penns Valley, because to me, Penns Valley is Siberia. And so that's, you know, now.
At least Harrisburg's a metropolitan area, dude.
Well, there's at least a Sheets down there in Center Hall, but nonetheless, it's one of those deals where I don't mind the rural nature of Penns Valley, and it's actually a nice school. And it's just the length of that trip and the way the roads are laid out going out once you get off 322, because you're spoiled with this four-lane mm-hmm. limited access stuff. And then you get there, and now you're on a two-lane, and you're weaving back and forth. And in the fall, it's harvest time. So the farmers are all over the road. But nonetheless, those trips to Harrisburg, just a little bit further.
I'm glad you took more trips to Harrisburg than I did this year. filling in as I was on a travel embargo up until last week. And then last week, obviously, with Jake Irwin going to his internship in Cincinnati with the Cyclones and the ECHL, we had Rocco Pellegrino come in, and he got selected to do some work for Penn State Hockey, and you can't really turn them down.
Yeah.
So I had to do play-by-play. I brought on Aiden Palilla, a former player of mine, and then somebody that played for Coach Niedermeyer, former Mount Lion, and played at Clarion. And, you know, I'm thrust into the play-by-play role for the first time ever, and, you know, lo and behold, we survived it, and probably what was the oldest press box I think I've ever been in.
Mm.
But You know, we're here and we're ready for one final home game at Mansion Park. It's a 5-minute drive for me, so I very much love Mansion Park home games. And it's and the Mansion Park press box is awesome, too. And, you know, I'm sure Coach Franco knows from his time when he was with the Mountain Lions that Mansion Park's one of the best places to be able to call a game. And maybe Rich DeLeo might say that every once in a while. But.
Well, that is a nice transition as we make our way into welcoming aboard the head coach of the Tyrone Golden Eagles, John Franco, is probably sitting there going, what are you guys complaining about? Right?
No, not at all. I'm just kind of chuckling at it because everybody has their problems, and they're real to them. But as we do laugh at you repeating them, but I agree with the Altoona situation. I mean, Mansion Park and the press box up there. I mean, it's as good as any in the state, if not better than most. I mean, so. We always had something very, very special there as far as the accommodations go.
No doubt, no doubt. And, you know, I got to go to the all-new site for the Pennsylvania State Football Championships there at Camp Hill. And Cumberland Valley, it's nice. You know, the field's nice. The press box is nice. It's not Altoona High. Mansion Park's press box is, you know, comparatively something to behold as compared to, and this is not meant to downplay CV at all. I mean, they have what they need there to put on these championship games that come their way. But there's always going to be this, I wish they would come back here.
Well, you know, I'm one of the few coaches that was fortunate enough to experience the state championship game at Altoona, Mansion Park, and at Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
And Hershey is iconic, and it was excellent, but nothing beat Mansion Park. The way it was run by the school district and District 6 and everything else, it was so first class in everything, and I'll tell you, it was very special. And at Hershey, and I liked Hershey. We were there twice, and it was excellent. But we were just another event of that weekend, and so, you know, in Altoona,
right,
everybody was focused on that state championship game, and boy, it just made it extra special. So, and then I've been down to Cumberland, and I still don't think it measures up to Hershey. I mean, it's nice and okay, yeah, but still not like Mansion Park was or Hershey. So, for whatever my
team. Well, you know, one of the things. Yeah, one of the things about it, Coach, is do you have the right size facility? And what I mean by that is nothing to do with press boxes or things of that nature. Is the facility actually giving the right kind of venue for some of the schools and the size that they are? And the one thing I noticed at Hershey Park, where if you played at Hershey Stadium, the one thing was it was so big that the crowd would get lost in the size of the facility. It's like trying to hold, you know, PIAA state championships in Beaver Stadium.
Or the Giant Center.
Yeah. You know what? You know what, though? You've never been to a Tyrone Mount Carmel state championship game then, because we filled every team in both those schools. Honestly, it was incredible.
Wow.
But I also remember the first year of the state championship, they used different venues around the state. Beaver Stadium was one, and it was terrible. Just terrible. And we went to that just to see it. And it was, I mean, you can't take, 10,000 people and put them in a 110,000 stadium. I mean, it looked terrible. It felt terrible. And it was the only time they did it. I think the PIAA realized that, too. Tyrone Mount Carmel, we have the two largest crowds in state championship history. And we were you know, proud of that. Whitey Williams was the head coach at Mount Carmel. And when we see each other, we still talk about that because those two communities are so diehard football that it just made the game so much fun to see everybody and every seat occupied. So, yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's.
You're right. You have to have. The facility has to match the event, and you know, Mansion Park was by far the best of the three. And but we, like I said, we liked Hershey. We thought that you know, it was good. In fact, I thought we kind of needed it with those two crowds because it was pretty important. They were pretty vital.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it doesn't matter where they play the state championship game. As long as you're there, that's all that matters. The rest is secondary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the final. Yeah, that's the final nail right there. You're right. You're exactly right.
So. All right, Coach. Let's get into the season so far for your Golden Eagles. I'm sure there's probably one game that you look back at. And, you know, the first game of the season is always so difficult because you've gone through your practices, you know what your team is capable of bringing, but you don't know. Yeah, you had a scrimmage, but the scrimmage never really shows you exactly what you need to know about that team in a game situation. And that loss at Bellefonte at the beginning of the season is something I'm sure you look back on and say, man, we let that one get away.
Oh, absolutely. That game really and truly, I mean, there's so much we could talk about and say about that, but you're exactly right. That is one game that we really felt that we should have had, and there were some factors in the game that we couldn't control, and it's one of the ones that you look back on and you say, man, if we'd have had that, that would put us in a little different position right now going into the playoffs. But you know, hey, it is what it is, and just about every team can look back on their season at this point and say, yeah, you know, we should have won that one, or we were lucky to win this one. And so in the long run, they do even out. But you're exactly right. That game, you know, I still think about it and say, man, the what ifs, what if, what if.
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
The one big surprise outside of that one, maybe it's just me, because traditionally your backyard brawl is always a close game. But Bellwood came armed to the teeth for that one. That's the only other game that sticks out to me out of your schedule this season. You know, 26-7 exactly wasn't what you wanted to walk away from the backyard brawl with.
They just thumped us that night, and they played really well, and we had four turnovers, they had one, and that was the game right there. And they scored off three of those four turnovers, and one was a pick six. That was and it wasn't a bad rebound. It was just kind of a lucky play. The ball gets tipped and goes right into one of their kids' hands, and he returns it 40 some yards, and son of a gun. You know, those things happen, and so you deal with it. But yeah, that's one game where there's no excuses. They came out and they outplayed us, and they they deserve that win. And generally, like you said, those games are pretty close, and there's so much emotion involved in it. It's just a shame we can't get that game back to the opening game of the season, because that was so very special, and we did it 75 straight years, and I think that should mean something. But the powers that be didn't feel that way, and they canceled that, and they put it in the that bat in the middle of the season. And it's still going to be good. I mean, when Tyrone and Bellwood play, it's always going to attract the fans and get the publicity. But there is something really special about opening the season with it each year.
Coach, then we just talked very, very admirably about Mansion Park, but that was a house of horrors for you guys, you know, against BG. And in the LHAC, it doesn't seem like there's a week off or anything like that.
Now, I'm sorry. Now, what was the question about it, though?
So how tough is that to get your guys up, you know, week after week in the LHAC? You know, you have obviously Bellwood, you lose a tough one there in a rivalry game, and then get yourself back into a rhythm, you know, later as the season wears on.
Yeah, you know, like I said, our schedule this year we felt was really difficult, and you know, when you're in the Laurel Highlands, you know, you're going to play an opponent, and you're going to play a rival every week that's going to be top notch. And so, you know, we come away from Guilfoyle, and then we're looking at Huntington, who had been down lately, and they were 5-1 or 6-1. And then Phillipsburg, they had been down, and they're having one of their best seasons in years. And then you have Pencambria, who's been on a run the last couple of years, and you know, they're one of the best teams in District 6. So you know, we hit that schedule, but we're playing pretty good football right now, and you know, so you know, we made the playoffs, and it was the win last week that did it. And that was a pretty important win. It was actually between us and Phillipsburg, and so now we got to, you know, try to keep it going there. You know, you don't know who you're playing until 10:30 the night of your ninth game, and so it kind of is like a playoff game in and of itself. But so, you know, we think we're getting better as the year's going on, and we think we're playing our best football of the year right now, and you know, that's when it has to be. We did the same thing last year. We had a ton of injuries last year, but when we finally got everybody back, we went on a 5-game winning streak, and we made it to the championship game. And we lost there, but we were playing our best football the second half of the season, which is exactly what we're doing now. So we got to figure out a way to open the season in a little better shape, and you know, put the you know, the two areas together, and then see what happens.
You know, one of the things, and seeing that in this particular case, Pencambria. The one thing about that is, and you can talk about this a little bit, how difficult it is to, once you reach a level of success, and every once in a while it's because you get a group of athletes that are coming through the program and the school in general, and they're all top-notch all at the same time, and then they all graduate. So I always, it's amazing to me that there are times when, you know, as a, I tend to attribute it to coaches, but a lot of it has to do with the athletic ability of the people that want to play that particular sport. But I always like to pat coaches on the back, because to me, that's one of the most difficult things. It's one thing to have a group of guys together and for a 4-year stretch. And so by the end of that, they're really good playing together, because they begin to know, just, you know, they don't have to think about the game. They just can play the game, so to speak. And then it all rolls over and it all starts anew after that group of seniors goes away. How difficult is that to resume the kind of success that you had been having after that group is gone?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, one of the things that happens, and you know, right now, you know, Central had been in this, that kind of a role. Pencambria is in it right now, and it becomes a program thing. When my first tenure at Tyrone, you know, we went a 20-year period there, and we averaged over 10 wins a season, and we had like 8 district championships and like 12 or 14 appearances in the championship game. And what happens then, guys, is that your program ends up developing itself, and kids enter the program and they expect to win. and they have a confidence level that is because they're part of the program. And BG is in this right now. BG going into this year, a lot of people said, well, hey, they lost a lot and they're going to have a tough time. And I said that, but they have a program going. And when you have a program going, you step into that program and you're automatically elevated. And you know your play has to be elevated if you want to stay with that program and you want to compete for a starting job or playing time. And that's what great programs do. They just reinvent themselves every year. And even though that good group graduated, that next group came in and they saw what it took. And people don't realize how important that is. And when a program, if they keep reinventing themselves year after year, then you have something really good going on. And like I said, we were fortunate enough to have a 20-year run like that. And there, honest to God, there were some games we'd come into the coach's office after the game and we'd look at each other and say, how the heck did we beat that team? I mean, they're better than us. And I remember one coach saying, yeah, but the thing is, they don't know they're better than us. They think they're playing the 2005 Tyrone team, and they're not. So it's really a neat thing in high school in particular, because you can have those long runs and those long tenures, and I've been lucky enough to be part of that, where you just see the program every year reinventing itself, and they stay at that high level. And like I said, BG's been in it for a while here, and Central had it going for a little bit there. Pencambria is experiencing that right now, and it's a really neat thing whenever you're part of it and you've experienced it. So it is something that I've always noticed and I try to follow, and you can really – you can see it develop in some local teams here.
Yeah, one of the things I refer to that as culture. It's what is the culture within the program? And that's what we're talking about. If you ever hear us say that, that's what we're talking about is that culture that develops.
Oh, yeah, the culture.
All right. Yeah, and we're going to take a break right now at 7:24. You're listening to the High School Football Coaches Show, and tonight we are at Sinking Valley Country Club, where they have a great restaurant, and it's something that you can take advantage of, because even though it's getting to the point where it's going to continue to be more and more difficult to get around in, they do everything they can, and I've known this course to have a lot of people playing a round of golf when you wouldn't necessarily expect it deep into November, because they really keep it going here. And it's not easy either, because they're right in against the mountain there, so you have a lot of leaves that make their way onto the golf course, but they keep it clean, and so there's a lot of golf to be played. And after you're done, then drop in here to the Bogey Bar and have yourself some great food. We had some great food before the show started. So we invite you to drop by. And it is at the Sinking Valley Country Club. If you're a golfer, be sure to take in a round. And right now, the course looks perfect. Grass is perfect. And like I say, they keep the greens all cleaned off as far as the leaves and things like that go. It's a great place.
Yeah, the issue is, you're running out of daylight.
Yeah, now, and that's about to change and get even more to be more of a factor, because as we all know, we fall back with the clock coming up shortly. When is that, Bob? Is that the first weekend in November there? Yeah, the second will be the actual day that I think the clocks fall back. And then it'll be getting dark at 5. So there's something to look forward to.
Thanks, Dave. Wow, that was great.
All right. We have the coach of the Tyrone Golden Eagles, John Franco, is here with us. We'll come back and talk more football about the Eagles and about their opponent that's coming up as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to the High School Football Coaches Show, and it is on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM.
Golfers, you're invited to play one of this area's most beautiful and challenging courses at Sinking Valley Country Club. The staff at Sinking Valley Country Club pride themselves on the high quality of their course, amenities, and the outstanding service they offer their customers. Over the years, they've earned the reputation of being one of the region's premier golf experiences. The 18-hole golf course at Sinking Valley Country Club is well-groomed and nestled among beautiful trees and mountains. In fact, a round of golf at Sinking Valley could be confused with a stroll through a nature preserve. After your golf game, Sinking Valley Country Club invites you to the Bogey Bar, Grill, and Restaurant. It's open to members and non-members alike. You can eat in or take out, and alcoholic beverages are available. The Bogey Bar's hours change based on the season. Call 814-684-0662 for more information. Take Kettle Road down to 595 Golf Course Road, or take Skelp Mountain Road and turn right. Experience golf like you never have before at Sinking Valley Country Club.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Quiet down. Here she comes. Shh.
Surprise! Your accountant just emailed to say your quarterly taxes are way higher than you were expecting.
At Progressive, we know small business owners don't usually like surprises because they cost you money. But a good surprise that could save you money? Getting discounts with a commercial auto quote from Progressive.
Also, your favorite employee is leaving. They're going to pursue their dream of being a veterinarian.
Surprise yourself. See if you can save in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Here's what's happening in Hank.
The U.S. Armed Forces Mothers will host Red, White, and Boo Saturday, October 25th, 5 to 10 p.m. at the Duncansville VFW. Music by Pledge Fellow from 7 to 10. Tickets are $25 per person or $175 for a table of 8. Tickets include a buffet meal. They're available at Uncle Joe's Woodshed or online at centralpaticket.com or from any mom. Have a nonprofit event? Send it to us 2.5 weeks in advance at the events tab of our station's website.
We play the legends of country. Hank FM.
And we are back. We're at the Bogey Bar at Sinking Valley Country Club. Great place, great food. I think all three of us would give them a big DJT thumbs up for the food. So we got that in. We're joined by head coach John Franco. And coach, sorry that we weren't able to get something closer so that after practice you could make it to the show in person, but it's good to be able to talk to you. You got so much knowledge about this game that it's great to talk to you anytime we can. Let's get back into your team here. And one of the guys that it's impressive. You look at Eli Woomer's passing statistics, and even though one of the metrics that's used to measure a quarterback is what they call the quarterback rating, but what got my attention, I'm looking at the stats for the season, and Eli has thrown for over 1,200 yards in 9 games. That's pretty darn good. How do you feel about Eli as your quarterback?
Well, you know, Eli does an outstanding job. He is the best athlete in the school. And he's an even better receiver. And he moved this year because there was a need at the position. And the last 2 games, we gave him some plays at wide receiver, and we had Ben walk in at quarterback a little bit just to kind of, because we could do it, and we had a quarterback who was also an outstanding receiver, and you know, just an opportunity to get him the ball in many ways. He also is a very good runner, and we've been able to run the ball from the quarterback position. And when you're using the spread offense, which we've been doing, you know, quite a bit. You know, the key to spread offense isn't always, you know, everybody thinks it's, well, you're just going to pass every down. But the problem with the defense is they can only put fewer men in the box because they've got to cover the receivers. So if you don't have a quarterback that can run the ball, then you're limiting yourself drastically. And we were able to have a pretty good runner in Eli at the quarterback position, and that's really helped our offense this year in giving us not just a passing game but also a pretty good running game there. And then, you add Caleb Whitby to that mix, and he's really come on the last several weeks. And that gives us, a pretty versatile offense and a pretty potent offense. But Eli, he just does so many things. And he's probably even a better defensive back than he is an offensive player. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can do it all. He returns punts. He's a holder on the kicking team. He could probably kick if we didn't have a pretty good place kicker. Because the kid is just one of the best athletes that I've ever been able to coach, and he is a team first player. He's very, very hard on himself. I mean, I don't have to yell at him much because I mainly have to calm him down because he's his biggest critic, and he's a perfectionist and he wants to do everything completely perfectly, or he'll do it again and again and again. So. He's been just a pleasure to work with the last 4 years, no doubt.
Having coached Eli in baseball with Coach Solner, I completely understand where you're coming from as far as him being his harshest critic and being super hard on himself. But, Coach, I want to ask you a little bit about Benny Walk. One of my other guys, our first baseman and pitcher for baseball, he's a multi-sport athlete. But how important is it to get guys like Ben Walk and Connor Zupon some reps? You know, even with Eli and his success at the quarterback position for not just this year, but also next year as well.
Well, yeah, and that allows us to do that, to get them some actual game experience and not just as a mop-up role. We've been able to do that the last couple of weeks, and we have a package of plays in for that particular reason. And it has been. It's really helped quite a bit. And we tried to do that a little bit with Eli when Ashton Walk was our quarterback, but every goddarn game was so close that I think it was only once or twice that we were able to get him some work in. But it becomes really important and it really does help your quarterback position get some needed experience for the future.
Let's talk a little bit about the Amy boys, Ashton and Mason. And Ashton is the, I guess we could call him the sack master, as he has compiled 4.5 sacks over the course of the season. And that's pretty good at the high school level. Talk about Ashton brings a lot more to the game as well, but he is your sack leader at this point in the season. So he's obviously enjoying his time defensively.
Well, and don't forget he had a pick six for a touchdown last week, and based off his pass rush, he is one of the finest athletes in the school. Also, and his younger brother Mason has been one of our best receivers and defensive backs. And the ironic thing about that, and when I see his dad, I coached their dad, and their dad's Paul Amy. And I, when I see Paul, I tell him all the time that his wife must have great athletic genes, because when I coached Paul, he was a big slow tackle, and his sons are these elite athletes that are tall, thin, really sharp looking athletic kids. So I say Mrs. Amy must have all the athletic genes in the family, because I coach the dad and I know the dad pretty well, and he'll agree with me too. They're excellent. They're really quiet kids, and they are just such competitors, and they love to compete. They love to play the game, and they're two of the guys that when you see them at practice, okay, they're not bad, but once the game lights turn on and I'll tell you what, that takes them to another level. They've had great years for us, no doubt.
And the other thing about them is they look pretty good on the basketball court together, too.
Yeah, exactly. They're multi-sport athletes. You know, they'll run track and they'll play basketball and football. I mean, they're true athletes, no doubt about it. And that's what we like to see. We love the multi-purpose athlete, especially when you're in a small school. You have to share the athletes. You can't just hoard them and try to get them to play one sport year-round, which I don't think is good at any type of high school anywhere, because I think you really hurt the athlete if you really try to talk him into just playing one sport. I think you're retarding his progress in your own sport. So these guys are multi-sport athletes. Most of the athletes that I have coached over the years who have been successful have been multi-sport athletes. Both my boys were three-sport athletes, and I'm a big believer in that, and I think I think it's a shame if a school or a sport tries to talk their kid into just playing one sport. I really don't believe that at all. Believe in that at all, I should say.
One of the things I wanted to, you know, you were talking about the way things are going in schools and the idea that a one-sport athlete is not good. Here's something else that I heard, and I'm sure you saw this story, and it just shocked me because I can see how negatively it's impacted college football, but there's a case in the courts in Ohio about NIL for high school athletes, and it's like, wait just a minute. It isn't bad enough what NIL did to college football. You cannot let that happen at the high school level. So Ohio's kind of under a microscope now to see. I think they made an initial ruling that was something that they did not want to see, the courts didn't want to see, and I hope they stick to their guns on that. But I know you're well versed in NIL and what your feelings are about it. Can you believe that Ohio, the state of Ohio, is pondering that even came up as a subject? The idea of trying to do that with high school kids.
Well, hey, we do it in Pennsylvania now, guys. The PIAA last year, they said that, you know, they can't compete with it. And there have been cases of, and I've heard it not in football or basketball or baseball, but I've heard in wrestling we have some sponsors, some businesses that are sponsoring kids for wrestling, and the PIAA has to approve it. There's nothing they can do about it, because as soon as you oppose it, the lawyers come in and take you to court, and then, I mean, they would financially kill you. I mean, you know, the NCAA can handle it, but you know, state organizations don't have the money to fight the courts, yeah. And the lawyers are the ones that. But we have that in Pennsylvania right now. The good thing is, it hasn't affected, at least to my knowledge, the main sports of football, baseball, and basketball. But I do know that wrestling has been greatly affected by it throughout the state. And you know, there's going to come a day when we're going to have to deal with it. And like you said, I mean, I think it's a travesty. I wish we could put something together to prevent it. And it's just not good for high schools. Look what it's done to college sports. At least there's adults in charge, and they can contractually. And I know we've talked about this, Dave. I know I've talked to you about this before. The way the college game is going to adjust is that they're going to eventually have contracts that will keep the lawyers out of it, because the lawyers are the ones killing the sports world in college because of NIL. And you can't compete with the lawyers. And that's going to happen in high school. I mean, we're on the verge now in Pennsylvania. We've already had a sport that is okay with it. And you know, the only problem is you're not going to have the money that the college level teams
right.
are able to get to, and that will help, you know, curtail the high school impact of NIL. And hopefully we can figure something out before they figure out the other way of getting it. And I just think it's really going to hurt high school sports if we don't find a way to control it. And you got to find a way to control the lawyers first. They're the keys to this. And until the colleges can do that, you know, you're going to have the chaos that we have. And you know, we'll deal with it the best way we can. But boy, oh boy, when I think about that in high school, you know, man, that could be the ruination of the entire sport. So,
you know, one of the things to me, Coach, that kind of tipped me off as to how bad this was getting was when I heard that so many of the higher Division I football programs, or just the schools in general, were hiring a title that I never thought I'd hear associated with college sports, and that's general manager.
General
manager. Because mm-hmm. And what that is at that point to me, that is, okay, so now you're admitting that you're the minor league of whatever sport that athlete plays, because now you have to have a general manager, and that's what the big professional teams have. They have GMs. And yep. When I heard that, it's like, that's it. I mean, this is officially a mess now that I heard general manager as a position in college athletics.
Yeah, absolutely right, Dave. It's now a business. I mean, we kind of knew that over the last 25, 30, 40 years, but at least we had a semblance of control through the NCAA. And even though a lot of people will tell mm-hmm. you, well, you know, people were doing everything under the table and everything, and I'm sure I'm not naive enough to think that didn't happen. I know it happened quite a bit. But at the same time, at least there was a semblance of control. But you're exactly right. I mean, you know, they opened the lid there, and boy, we better get control of it, or it's going to really cause us to lose the sports that we love. And college sports, I think, are the best, and at least they had been. And I hope that we can figure it out, get rid of the chaos, and return college sports to, you know, the type of sport that we've all grown to love and admire and enjoy.
All right, we're going to turn the last part of the show over to Jared, because I just kind of I'm passionate about that subject. I know you are too, Coach. So since we kind of broached that, I figured we'd go ahead and play that out. But it's 7:45 right now. We're going to talk about Chestnut Ridge and the game you have coming up here on Friday, and Jared will be the lead attorney in this round of testimony that you're about to present.
Before we talk about Chestnut Ridge, it feels weird to talk, Dave. I'm sorry. I don't know what that's like. Anymore. But before we talk about Chestnut Ridge, Coach, I want to ask you, what would your ideal NIL deal be back from when you played?
My NIL deal was that during football season, we got free meals in the IUP cafeteria after practice. And that's about it.
IUP's back on the map now that Coach Cignetti is doing well at the real Indiana University
yeah.
of the state of Indiana.
Yeah.
Coach, I want to talk about now. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, when I was at IUP, we were a legitimate Division II program, and now they are big time. So I can sit back and admire them, though.
Coach, what kind of challenges does Chestnut Ridge give you guys? You know, you're going out there at their place, their beautiful facility. Shouldn't be any issues with the turf. You know, you would hope on a Friday night, other than maybe some moisture there in the second half. But what kind of challenges do they present to you guys on Friday night?
Chestnut Ridge is an excellent football team. They are a very tough, strong, run-first type school, very, very similar to what Phillipsburg was last week. And they have always been that type of program. Last year we beat them over there 35-34, and it was just one long touchdown drive by both teams. I mean, it was a really exciting game unless you're the coach. And then we were able to block the extra point. And again, that was Eli Woomer who came in. That's another thing that he does really well. He blocks kicks. But they've had a fine program over the years, and they have a very, very strong running game, and their offensive line and defensive line is the strength of their team. And that's always the best way to build. And so we know that, you know, we've been stressing all week and that we've got to deal. We've got to be able to block their defensive front. That's the key, both for the running game and the passing game. And on our defense, our focus has been to take away their running game. They have a really good inside running game. And they will take a shot now and then. So, you know, you always have to be ready for that. But the strength of their team is they're going to run it at you. They're going to try to run it down your throat. They have a little veer option that they pull out every now and then, and they get some big plays from. But they are a strong team. And like I said, last year's game, you know, it looks like it could be repeated this year. It's that type of competitive. And it's the same thing as last year. We both ended up in the same spot, in our respective conferences. And we're really expecting a hard-fought, close game. And we know that we've got to shut down their running game if we want any chance of winning.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, Coach, and get this in. We'll come back and talk more Chestnut Ridge after we take this time out. We are at the Bogey Bar and Grill that is at Sinking Valley Country Club, and it's a really nice place. We had some of the food here this evening before the show. Outstanding food. You had a burger that I think you could have, if you threw it at somebody, you could have hurt him.
Yeah, it was a bacon cheeseburger, not chicken or anything buffalo, so I'm turning over New Leaf Dave. But
there you go.
But it was delicious.
Fatherhood's wearing well on you.
I just wanted something that I could eat before the game, before the show.
But no, the food is great here, and it's a place to come to. You're going to try to get a couple more rounds in here as the end of the golf season is right on top of us. And what better way to top off a day here at Sinking Valley Country Club, one of the finest groomed ones in the area, and one of the most challenging ones above and beyond that. So if you're going to come down, make a day of it, you know, finish things up in Bogey Bar and Grill here, and, you know, it's a great way to spend whatever, you know, if you plan it out and maybe you have some time off in the afternoon on a weekday, you know, and you have some friends to get together, come on down about 3 in the afternoon. You ought to be able to get your round in and have a good meal, and then head home.
It's a great place, Dave, to either drown your sorrows or celebrate your birdies off the back nine. You know, it could go either way.
Yeah.
Depends on how bad it was out in the course or how good it was. For me, it's usually how bad. So then you got to kind of catch up and make yourself feel a little bit better.
All right. Come inside and celebrate your birdie. We'll come back and wrap up tonight's High School Football Coaches Show with head coach John Franco from the Tyrone Golden Eagles right after this on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM.
Golfers, you're invited to play one of this area's most beautiful and challenging courses at Sinking Valley Country Club. The staff at Sinking Valley Country Club pride themselves on the high quality of their course, amenities, and the outstanding service they offer their customers. Over the years, they've earned the reputation of being one of the region's premier golf experiences. The 18-hole golf course at Sinking Valley Country Club is well-groomed and nestled among beautiful trees and mountains. In fact, a round of golf at Sinking Valley could be confused with a stroll through a nature preserve. After your golf game, Sinking Valley Country Club invites you to the Bogey Bar, Grill, and Restaurant. It's open to members and non-members alike. You can eat in or take out, and alcoholic beverages are available. The Bogey Bar's hours change based on the season. Call 814-684-0662 for more information. Take Kettle Road down to 595 Golf Course Road, or take Skelp Mountain Road and turn right. Experience golf like you never have before at Sinking Valley Country Club.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan. You pick your deductible. You even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. Get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. A toll-free number has been established for you to call for your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number to call is 800-260-1679. 800-260-1679. Again, that's 800-260-1679.
Grow your career and income with Leitner Communications. Our great radio stations are locally owned and operated, and we're searching for go-getters who are looking for a career and not just a job. We currently have openings for multimedia account executives to join our growing team. We will train you to become a solution provider to local advertisers. With unlimited earning potential, Leitner Communications is the perfect job for anyone who loves to get out of the office and meet new people. Sales experience is helpful, but not required. Candidates should be self-motivated, goal-oriented, passionate, and creative. If you think you have what it takes to join our Leitner Communications team, email your resume and cover letter today to jobs@leitnercom.com. That's jobs@leitnercom.com. Jobs@leitnercom.com. Leitner Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Dave, you gotta have the microphone.
I have to learn how to shovel food in faster before the show. I'm still trying to
pull yourself together, Dave. Come on, man.
I'm still trying to finish these fries. They're so good. Anyway, we're back at the High School Football Coaches Show from the Bogey Barn Grill tonight, joined by the head coach of the Tyrone Golden Eagles, John Franco. And Coach, quickly, as far as the offense with Chestnut Ridge goes, there's two guys that kind of stand out when you look at this, and one is quarterback Pinson, who has thrown for 793 yards so far this season. And you had mentioned they're a rushing team, and that's what they specialize in. But one person in particular, Jaden Immler, he's a junior, a 6'1 junior. He is leading the pack. He has rushed for 851 yards. So I'm sure you've seen some video about him. What makes him such a successful runner? He has over half of the yardage that the team has as a whole when it comes to rushing.
What makes him so special is his offensive line. They are excellent.
Okay.
They have three returners from last year's team who ran the ball really well. And the other thing that is effective is they run a lot of veer option. So the quarterback and the running – I mean, the quarterback is reading the defense. And so usually when he's running the ball or the quarterback's running the ball, they're running to open areas because of that type of running attack. And so you combine a really good offensive line with a triple option attack, and it's something that we don't see a lot of in this area. And they do it really well. Max Shoemaker has been doing this for years, and he is an outstanding coach all in all. But in particular, he's an outstanding option game coach. And so they put a lot of pressure on you with that. And the fact that you just don't see it makes it so much better for them. So we've had to spend a lot of time this week on defending that. And we know what we're going to do. We know we've got to take care of the dive man. Then we got to take care of the quarterback run off that, and then you still have the option pitch off that. So you know that's the key, and that's the reason yards out of that. It's a very effective offense, but again, doesn't matter if you don't have a good offensive line blocking for you, and they have one of the best I've seen this year.
Very glad that you brought up the veer option. It's my bread and butter. I see it every week with Altoona. How difficult, you know, you mentioned how difficult it is to defend, but you're an offensive guy. So what makes a good offense?
Well, you can get back. It's pretty basic. And I've been involved, my whole career with offensive football. Everything starts with your offensive line. And I mean, it doesn't matter the system, but if you can teach the system properly, just about any offensive system will work. And then, of course, you've got to have the skill kids to complement what your offense is going to be. And we're always looking. I mean, I've been noted, as a passing game coach. But, I've also had years where we ran the ball very successfully. And everything, every time we have had a good offense, it all started with the offensive line. And when you have problems with your offense, you can generally trace it to that also. And then you have to have the quarterback to run your system. So, a quarterback that's going to play for Chestnut Ridge is going to be a different type of talent than the quarterback that would play for Tyrone. And it doesn't mean one's better than the other. It just means, one's more suited to a certain style of offense than the other is. And so then you've got to find that kid in your program. We don't recruit, kid. Well, most of us don't recruit, but you've got to find that kid in your system. And then Max has got to find an option kid. And like us, we try to develop our quarterbacks from the youth level up into junior high and up into high school. And I guarantee he does the exact same thing. So, you develop that quarterback in, and then you develop your offensive line, and then you run the scheme that you are most knowledgeable about. And then hopefully, it still comes down to the kids. You can have the greatest high school, college mind, anywhere, and if you don't have good players, then you're not going to score, and you're not going to be effective. So, it still comes back to the players, and in football, everything starts with the offensive line. The most important group of any group on a football team, guaranteed, even more important than the defensive line. The offensive line can control a game better than any other group within a football program.
All right. Well, there's one last thing I'm going to say here in my scouting of Chestnut Ridge. I feel bad for number 64 on Chestnut Ridge. His last name's Frankenberry. I'm just saying. Can you imagine going through life and it's like, Mr. Frankenberry? And it's like, no, this can't be my last name. But anyway, and Hunter is, he's a little bit smaller in stature, but I did notice he's involved in a lot of tackles, and he's having a good year defensively. 5'7", 152. But he has a number of solo tackles and quite a few assists on his resume for this particular year. So even though he's got that Frankenberry name, he's doing okay.
Yep, he's one of their better players defensively, without a doubt, no doubt.
Okay. Well, hey, we appreciate you. By the way, I didn't see get anything back from you. Are you going to be attending our coaches show next week at the U.S. Hotel?
What is it on Thursday?
No, it's on Wednesday. However, however, there is an option. We're going to have the show on from 7 till 9 to accommodate all the coaches. So there would be time there at 8 o'clock. I don't know if that would work for you or not.
Yeah, I think, as long as I don't have to be there between 7 and 7:30, I think I could get there by 8 o'clock. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that then.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
We'll go with that.
All right.
All right, Coach Shea, thanks for your time tonight.
Okay, thank you for having me. And again, sorry we can't attend and be with you, but hopefully next week we can change that a little.
Okay, sounds good, Coach. Good luck on Friday night.
All right, thank you very much. Take care, guys.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this week's edition, the final regular season edition of the High School Football Coaches Show on 1370 and 96.1 Hank FM. And Jared, you'll be back for our, I call it the postseason whip around, because we get a number of coaches in, so we're just kind of bouncing around between them and coming up with a show. So you'll be with us next week at the hotel.
That is the game plan, Dave. We'll see what happens. 2 hours with you. There's no place I'd rather be.
All right. And good food, too. Food is always important. And we had some good food here.
I hear you're buying.
Tonight at the Pokey Bar and Grill. All right. Once again, can't say enough thanks to the folks at Sinking Valley Country Club for hosting the Tyrone edition of the High School Football Coaches Show. We will catch you again next week from the U.S. Hotel. And until then, have a great week, everybody.
The High School Football Coaches Show is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC, Roaring Spring, Altoona.